Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Today, Holy Mother Church celebrates the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. It's the third time I say it, and it's a tongue twister. And in this feast, as we sort of extending the Easter season a little bit, which are these feasts attached to it, we have sort of a summation of all that we have been celebrating since the beginning of the liturgical year, back in December. This mystery that the one God, somehow within him, is the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not something we understand. It's not something we're meant to understand. It's something we're actually going to be contemplating in heaven for all eternity. So if somehow we understood it here on earth, what would heaven be? But we are given these revelations about our God through time. And just as human beings don't learn all in one instant, God respects that, and that's how actually God made himself known to us, in stages, in different ways. Not in different modes, as if this is three different modes of God, but slowly revealed to us this great mystery. In the beginning, God created. But how did he do it? We hear in the book of Genesis that he spoke, "Let there be light." Well, going forth from his mouth, so to say, if he was speaking, what went forth? Words. Well, what is another name for Jesus Christ? But the eternal word that has been spoken by the eternal Father. And then not long after that, you hear about the Spirit moving over the waters. And then at the creation of humanity, we hear, let us create him in our image, own image and likeness. The Lord is not using the royal we, but something is being already revealed in the beginning about this unity, yet also this plurality, this oneness, but this distinction. And as salvation history carried on, God reveals himself first to Noah, then to Abraham, and then eventually to Moses, the greatest in the Old Testament, where he actually reveals the divine name to Moses, as we heard in the first reading, and they speak to one another. Again, these words. And as the covenant goes forward, the prophets speak, the Spirit speaks through them, preparing them for what to receive the Messiah. And I'll take this all the way back even to the beginning, back when Adam and Eve, when our first parents committed the first sin, they were already given the promise of the Messiah, that there would be a promised one to come. The promised woman and her seed, her son, would crush the serpent's head with his heel. And in the fullness of time, Christ came to us. Again, the mystery of the Trinity is difficult to understand because even the Lord Jesus, as we celebrated last Sunday with Pentecost, said, "I will send you another advocate, another intercessor with my Father, who will lead you into all truth, the Holy Spirit." One God, three persons. And in fact, the more we try to wrestle with this, the more we try to explain it, the more we try to articulate it, if we're not careful, we're led further and further into heresy than into truth about this God we worship and adore. But with St. Anselm of Canterbury, we can say, "Lord, I believe so that I may understand." Or as from Scripture we also hear, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." It's not meant for us to fully grasp as if somehow we've got God put in a nice little box and done with that, let's move on to the next thing. To be contemplated, adored, worshipped, And part of this mystery is that even Jesus reveals further the divine name of God by when he sends forth the apostles at his ascension to go forth and make disciples of all nations. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Again, he didn't say names, plural. He said name, and then mentions three. And in our worship of this most holy Trinity, everything begins with their divine name. We make the sign of the cross. The sacraments are confirmed or ratified through that same divine name, through the Holy Trinity, their work to save us. And so, some awesome reality, every act of God is a single act of all three persons. So we can't change those names into something we'd want them to be. Because it's not just the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier. Because both Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each individually and all together, create, redeem, and sanctify every last one of us. And there's so much that could be said. We could be here for days because there's volumes and volumes and volumes written on just what we're able to understand and articulate about our God. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful mystery. So in one way to help give us something to contemplate that won't lead us into error, I'll share this with you about the Holy Trinity. Make it real concrete. How does God still work among us? How is the Trinity active in our daily lives? How is the Trinity even active right here and now as we're worshiping? Well, all worship is directed to the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. We gather here right now. We come to Mass. We actively participate. Active participation in Mass is first and foremost receptive. We come to receive God's word, God's message. Well, then someone has to speak. Something has to go forth. We read the scriptures. These were given to us by our God, and we read so much of it. But the word goes forth. It is spoken. The Eternal Father. You have a Father here speaking to you. The word goes out. The eternal word. We unpack it. We listen. We want come to receive it. And as it goes forth amongst us all, the Holy Spirit is active and working on your hearts and on your minds to help you to open up, to receive the message, to receive the salvation, to convict you of the ways in which we're going astray or that need to be shored up, to bring us ever deeper into this mystery we observe, we celebrate, and adore. And who is the most surest help in this? Who is the greatest Christian that ever set foot on this earth? Who is the greatest human person who ever received God most fully to where it became part of her life? But our mother, the mother of God. Which is why before I preach to you, and it's a good practice to get into even for yourself before Mass, making that rosary, praying a Hail Mary, asking Our Lady to be with you. Why? Because she is daughter of the Father, mother of the Son, and spouse of the Holy Spirit. But in a very beautiful way, how did redemption first come to us? What words did the Eternal Father speak to announce the incarnation of His Son? He sent the angel Gabriel to a town of Nazareth. We know the story. And what did he say? Hail, full of grace. The Lord is with you. And in her receptivity, she received the message of God. That scripture was broken forth. She got a sermon and she took it in. And then what happened? Christ was conceived in her womb. In what way? By the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Stirring up within her. And she goes forth. Same is for each and every one of us. We come to this Holy